Devastating pine beetle and wildfire epidemics have ravaged our national forests for years. But for the most part, everyone, environmentalists, the timber industry, government agencies, have been in agreement about how to manage such problems as wild places, not as tree farms in which forests are a crop that's been wiped out. But that hasn't always been the case. In a new history called Black Hills Forestry, Laramie author John Freeman traces American forestry back to one passionate Frenchman who fell in love with the Black Hills. But for Freeman himself, it was not love at first sight.
We were driving from Rapid City into the Black Hills, and my first impression was, this is the most crass, commercialized area I have ever seen. And so I couldn't really see the Black Hills because of the billboards. And after I calmed down on that and became somewhat less ideological about it all, it was fascinating to see that the Black Hills was really the first national forest in the nation in which timber was cut without selling the land. And the other aspect of the Black Hills that was of interest to me, because of my background in French history, is that the founder of the Forest Service, a gentleman named Gifford Pinchot. Pinchot was actually trained as a forester in France. And he was attracted to the Black Hills because he knew about the devastation that had taken place with the advent of the gold mining, where in communities such as Deadwood, around these communities, the forest was basically decimated. He felt that the Black Hills could be a real model for what he calls scientific forestry. The Black Hills are a very unique area because you have, I think, three or four different sort of climate zones and floristic zones that sort of merge in the Black Hills. So Pinchot, who was he was not only a trained forester and one of the first in the country, but he was also a very capable politician. And so he was as responsible as anyone for getting the Congress and the President of the United States to establish the Forest Service and establish actually government management of public lands. And it really started in the Black Hills against tremendous local opposition. I mean, the idea, you know, on the part of the local folks was, if the government takes over the management, we will no longer be able to cut trees. And it turned out to be exactly the opposite.
He kind of brought to the United States the idea of forestry as that timber is a crop. Is that correct?
Exactly. Pinchot's notion was that you treat a forest the way you treat a crop of corn or wheat or barley. And his notion of conservation was that you cut as much of the forest as you possibly can without endangering the future of that forest.
There's one particular tree that is kind of the predominant queen tree of the
Absolutely,
Black
both the queen and the king tree, yes, and that is the ponderosa pine. And one of the unique characteristics of the ponderosa is that it reproduces extremely quickly. And so you have a situation in the Black Hills where today the standing timber in the Black Hills, roughly, is three times what it was before the exploration and exploitation of the Black Hills. Even though billions of feet of logs have been taken out of the forest, Pinchot looked at the Black Hills because of the prolific growth of the ponderosa as really the model for timbering for all of the other national forests. Although he did not know what the mountain pine beetle was, he was smart enough to bring in an entomologist who actually identified what we call today the mountain pine beetle, and that was identified at the request of Pinchot in the Black Hills.
What did Roosevelt bring to the idea of forestry?
Right. Teddy Roosevelt was not only a progressive, but he was very much of a conservationist. And during the Roosevelt era, you have individuals in South Dakota who were very interested in attracting tourists from the Midwest to the Black Hills. And in the early 40s, you have the development of Mount Rushmore, which is right in the middle of this national forest. And, you know, we all admire Mount Rushmore and we admire the, you know, the presidential faces. But what is probably less known is that Mount Rushmore was just an incredibly ingenious attempt by the tourist industry to attract to South Dakota. And they all knew that the trees alone and the mountains alone were not going to attract the kind of people that they wanted to attract.
And so as more people moved in and the government took more interest in protecting it for tourism and as a wild place, how did forest management change?
Well, the Forest Service did not realize that public sentiment, particularly in the 60s, was more and more in favor of conserving than the Forest Service was managing. So the Forest Service sort of lost touch with the public sentiment. And it was the legislation in the late 1960s, the various environmental acts passed by Congress and signed by the president, that in essence forced the Forest Service to kind of realign how it was managing the forest.
Well, thank you very much for taking some time to talk to me about this book. It's a very readable history of this area, and just a real pleasure to kind of get the perspective about forestry from a historical viewpoint. So
thank you
so much. Mm-hmm. We've been talking to John Freeman, who's the author of Black Hills Forestry, A History. Thank you so much.